This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
GTA, Grand Theft Auto, apparently is what GTA means, leaked early online. And are the thieves the protagonists, or are we trying to catch the thieves as
the thieves? You play as the thieves.
You're a thief.
You're a thief.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dassler, and with me, as always...
God, we're getting close to the end of the year, and I am very relieved that some shit happened in the past 7 days to talk about. Ben Vanel here. Thanking the video game gods.
Coming under the news cars, be like, hey everybody, we thought we had a light one on the news today, but fucking thankfully some shit happened around the world. My name's Adam Knox. Three people dead in the
Do you think they ever are just sitting around, you know, 5:45 before the broadcast, being like, is it going to be the worst thing if we just do 10 minutes tonight?
Oh, boy, I've got a story I can tell. It's fine. Yeah, don't worry about it.
I reckon they've got a bunch of stuff backed up. Like, all of those human interest things.
The human
things,
interest is sure, ready to go.
Of course, yeah. The squirrels.
Because the newspaper isn't a set number of pages. The newspaper can be as big or as small as it needs to be.
That's true.
I guess so.
But the news...
I've never checked. Is that... I assume so.
They'd have sections. Yeah. They'd have set sections, right? But they wouldn't have to fill them all.
If they got a lot to write about.
Chuck in some more ads.
Chuck in a couple more pages.
Yeah. You could just play one of those like pre-prepared things they have for like when a king dies or whatever.
Yeah.
Just run a couple of them and then go as fill some more time but going, actually, we retract that. Charles still alive.
Yeah.
Not well though. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, or if there's heaps of news, do they just go, we're cutting the weather tonight? People can just walk outside if they want to know what temperature it is. Mm. We don't have time.
The next 5 days are the same. All right, bye.
We have to get to the dog on the skateboard. It's been delayed for a week now. We have to put him out there.
Yeah. Well, we'll drop the trailer for the dog on the skateboard.
Oh.
The dog's been working for years to learn how to ride that skateboard and keeps getting bumped every single night because all this shit happens. The dog's like, oh, look, I know this war isn't about me, but come on.
Finally, one day there's no events, but then it's a squirrel riding a water ski.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Fuck.
Well, then he got that from me.
Well, then in this case, they end up just kind of having their hand forced and playing the dog on the skateboard video because the son of the guy who owns the skateboard sort of started going around out the front of the news studio and being like, guess what, guys? This dog, I'm going to let you know, it's a Kelpie.
There was a leaked video of the dog with a big Buy Bitcoin logo over it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, because there was like someone pretending and the trailer that the kid or whatever.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto 6, by the way.
Yes. Huh? the trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6 was going to be out by now anyway.
Right.
But they put it up like 12 hours early or something, maybe 24 even, or some amount early because it had leaked online somehow.
Mm.
Rux, GTA 6 getting some of the worst fucking leaks that happened this side of plumbing disaster.
Yeah, and it's not going to be out for like another, you know, 2-ish years or so, roughly.
Yeah.
So you have to imagine there'll be even more to come.
Yeah.
I guess it is the most anticipated game in the history of video games.
The
so.
YouTube video, I think, maybe it didn't quite, but it got close to being the most watched like 24-hour period of any. BTS either had or has the record.
Okay.
And
when I saw it was 61 million. Ooh. So that's a fair Their number.
They got a lot.
It's almost as much as our YouTube videos get.
Almost. Keep working on it, Rockstar. But all of ours leak. We've never officially released one.
No.
They all just get leaked onto this channel called Filthy Casuals.
Yeah, I keep meaning to hit it as like unlisted, but it's always public for some reason.
I keep emailing YouTube at YouTube.
Yeah.
The video, the full file.
Mm-hmm.
We played Lethal Company on there if you want to go watch that. It's a fun game.
Maybe yeah.
We'll talk about our thoughts on it in a bit. But GTA 6... the trailer came out.
Yep.
The kid thing was like a fake leak or whatever. Then there was a real leak. Mm. Who knows how all of those things happen. But the proper thing looks good.
Mm. Looks good. Great trailer. I was saying to you yesterday, Adam, the song that's in it, it's a Tom Petty song.
Yes.
It's cool to see a trailer with a song like that that sort of kind of sounds almost like a song that you've seen in a million other things. But the fact that they managed to find something that's like a little more under the radar.
Yeah.
But has that total flavor of the feel they're going for and the location that it's set in and everything.
Mm.
And it was funny going onto Apple Music yesterday and looking up that song, and it's like
The
third song on a song Tom Petty album, and Apple Music will have like a little star next to the most listened to songs on an album. And that song didn't yet have the star, but just being like, I'm going to check in every day and see how long it is until this is the most popular song off this Tom Petty album that also has Free Fallen and Won't Back Down on it.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be like the Kate Bush song in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Rocketing up the charts.
Oh, absolutely.
Song.
Mm.
So if you haven't seen the trailer, just go watch it. We're not going to go like frame by frame or whatever. But overall impressions, it looks fucking... Like, I would think literally unbelievable if it weren't for Rockstar like pulling off Red Dead 2 and all of the stuff they've done in the last... Even GTA 5... The fact that ran on the 360 and stuff.
Right. Yep.
They know what they're doing. So
the like density of like, yeah, crowds and, and detail and all that stuff was
a lot of stuff where that. I was, yeah, forgetting that I was watching something that's computer animated.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I'm normally watching videos of people twerking. So I just fell back into, I'm watching the trailer. That's crazy. I could see the density stuff being like the one thing where I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And I could see that being pulled back, I guess.
Right.
Especially because, so they said it's PS5 and Xbox Series consoles, no PC at launch, and no mention of anything else like the Switch 2 or whatever, if that's even capable. But that does mean that they've got the Series S that they have to have it running on as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
it
looks
fucking... Which could change. It says, they've said 2025, which is... Could be late 2025.
Yeah. It could be, as
be
much
being
as two
delayed
years.
As well.
Then,
like,
exactly.
So I could see it either slipping off of the Series S or ending up being also on a PS5 Pro or a.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate already bent the rules with the Series S stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if anyone's going to be able to twist Microsoft's arm, it's me, the strongest man in the world. It's Rockstar.
I guess they also. Rockstar might want it to, just for more sales.
Yeah.
Right, like that's, yeah.
Like maybe it's just fine. And maybe if there's a scalable amount of like the population density and stuff like that they can do. I'm into the brief little flashes of what the story seems to be. We knew it was the dual protagonists and the whatever. The little hint of like romance and betrayal type of story we'll get, I'm into.
Mm. You love a bit of romance and a bit of betrayal.
I love romance. Which is a lie that will be revealed later.
I feel like technically it looked incredible.
Mm.
I feel like, and we've talked about this for literally the entire duration of this podcast, about the like flavor of Grand Theft Auto being a little juvenile, you know, and a little behind the times comedically or just tonally. But And that was not present in this trailer at all.
Because specifically, we've been talking about that for the whole run of this podcast about only five.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. Because four, it was not really a huge part of that sort of tone. It was a little bit more serious.
And they had a bit of, you know, Pisswasser was the beer or whatever. But like it was, five in particular had that tone.
Yes.
And had sort of like the betrayal story that I don't think they pulled off in the way that I hope they can with this. Mm-hmm. After Red Dead 2 being so great.
But yeah, I felt like it was lacking a bit of what I consider to be like the GTA personality.
See, I love that about this is that it seemed distinct from 5.
Right, yeah, that was my big it's, yeah, there's been such a long gap and sensibilities have changed so much, and they're also very much aware that things move so quickly now that if you are going to keep this game around for a long time, something that you put in that it's very of the moment, commenting on, you know, online trends or whatever, is going to be dated pretty quickly, which is why, honestly, it was surprising to sort of see them lean in so heavily to the TikTok aesthetic, because I, you know, I know it's huge and it's been huge for a little while, but yeah, again, this won't be out for like another 2 years. So who knows if even, you know, things come and go a lot with in a much more rapid succession these days. Like you wonder if it's even, dated by the time it comes out.
Potentially, if it's like, you know, like a game coming out now about MySpace or whatever by then.
Right.
I would fucking love that. Who am I kidding?
But yeah, that would be cool.
I
but
was
also,
thinking
if it's
the
their own parody version, then it, hey, it doesn't matter. Our version is Dick Cock.
Yeah, that's the...
that's what I was missing.
I hope they don't do that. and we're saying like the sense of it, but like there's a lot of... But there's a lot of the Florida man jokes that people make.
True.
You know, yep.
One guy with like a Hank Hill ass, real flat, watering his garden. I don't remember every detail of the trailer, but I do vividly remember.
TikTok did seem like a big part of it, like the sort of social media stuff.
What if you have a mechanic in this game, either as a probably as a, one of the side things, where if you're like filming your stunts and your rampages, you're making videos and putting them up on the fake social media thing in there, getting money off of that. I like a Pokemon Snap. I love it when there's a integrated photography game. I'm never into the like photo modes necessarily, but having some sort of fun like, gameplay element of working that in could be really interesting.
The slow-mo stunt stuff was big up until 5. It's not in 5, I don't think.
You could do the stunts, I think, okay. But it was like in 3, it was like, for example, one of the your sort of main tent pole, here's the things you're doing.
Exactly, ticking those off. And like if that becomes, like you say, something where you're like framing it and shooting it and uploading it, I could see that. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, Rockstar has their own, like, I don't think they call it Rockstar Social Club anymore. I think they changed the name, but they've got their own sort of trying to be their what do you call it, like, I don't want to use the word fucking bespoke, I never
platform
do
for all
their
stuff
own platform
that they're,
for, so it could also just be a way of having all of that be uploaded socially.
Make sure
and sharing
getting,
wise because they've got to be aware of, obviously that's a massive part of games now,
right? I mean, it's featured pretty heavily in the trailer. That's like my big memory
like
of it.
50%
of it. Yeah, heaps of it is shown through the lens of it being on a basically a TikTok with all the comments rolling in and everything. So,
all the comments as well. That's weird for a GTA game. They're all like, "Haha, looks like fun."
Yeah.
Wee, what a cool party this looks like you're at. And like, if anyone should be just streams of kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself.
Yeah.
It's that particular.
That had a bit of like a Ubisoft like Watch Dogs flavor.
Right.
It kind of did,
The animations of the characters being so realistic, but then the comments being like, this is the thing that's giving me Uncanny Valley. People do not converse like this in the comment sections of videos.
Yeah. They'll be like, you're serious about this joke. the kind of cartoony look of it is still there
as
well,
yes,
but like the water especially looked fucking awesome,
lighting, all of the lighting in the cities and
really good.
And I'm
like
into
a big area too, from like the aerial shots.
I'm into what it looks like they're doing with the story. Even that seems a bit more like interesting and restrained than just like we're a bunch of criminals out to, you know, like it just seems like it's
a bit more grounded, a slightly bit more grounded.
Get like sort of two snippets, which is like the sort of like counselor woman talking to, is it Lucia? I think
don't
it
know.
Is.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming out of jail. She's like, hey, you know, what's up? I can't remember what she says. Well, how come you're in here? But anyway, you get like that little bit and she's got like a tone of like, fuck this. Mm-hmm. And then they're doing the robbery. And then at the end, it's just like them going, trust, right? And anyway, the tone of just those tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of cutscene things.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm excited to play this goddamn game.
Yeah. I will die before it comes out, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's my big prediction for GTA 6.
I'm a big chance of being 40 when it comes out, which is absolutely brutal to think about.
Yeah, GTA 40. All right.
Yeah.
It is funny to think about it as like, it truly is like seeing the trailer and then imagining yourself eventually playing it. It's like, this is like a time capsule where we can look back on where we were when it was first announced and how different our lives
are
now.
People were doing that on the internet. Like, and it'll be the same amount of time if it comes out in 2025, which it's a big chance of not. Mm-hmm. It'll be the same amount of time between 5 and 6 as between 3 and 5. And they did 3, Vice City, San Andreas 4, the expansion for 4, all of those like handheld ones. Red Dead 1, all of that stuff in that time. Yeah. And then they've done this, 5, Red Dead 2, and then this.
Hey, they did those remasters.
Sure. Well,
that wasn't nothing.
Was it someone else?
No, it was someone else.
You're right. You can take a point off even for that.
Yeah.
Get rid of a release.
But then, like, if you bracket, like, 5 was great, Red Dead 2 was great, and if this is great, it's like, okay, take as long as you want.
Yeah, honestly. I won't be dead. I'm not imagining that.
Or 40.
No, I'm going to stop right here.
Yeah.
This is the
gentleman's
age.
Dead. 40 years old.
I'm looking forward to it. It's not like too surprising any of what they showed. It's just, but it's still impressive.
Yeah. I think that maybe because we knew it was Vice City and we knew the protagonists and had seen some of it in leaks.
Right.
It was like, but
I'm going to make a prediction. It's going to be delayed.
Yeah.
And it's going to launch dead on my 40th birthday.
Oh,
August the 25th, 2026.
God damn. Maybe the PC version.
Wow, that's too big of a delay. I reckon it'll go from late 2025 to maybe say March 12th, 2026.
We want
to
put things. Well, I reckon they're targeting the 39th first half of 2025 because here's my big bet. If I get this wrong, I bet I'll never play GTA 6.
Okay.
If you're wrong about this.
That actually just makes your guys' job on this harder.
Yeah.
So great bet for me.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you lose, you have to do a little performance at my 40th birthday.
Yeah, right. I reckon they're targeting first, like, up till March of 2025.
Right.
Because the Take-Two people on some earnings call or whatever said... That fiscal year will be massive for them.
Right.
That will get delayed and then it will come out at the end of 25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe. Okay. Because every game they put out gets a delay at some point, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's been a long time between drinks, so I don't really remember their patterns, but...
That is funny, though, because by saying 25, that's... You're already giving yourself a huge window.
Yeah, true.
You're already giving yourself 12 months to, like, not have to go, like... Oh, spring 2025. Well,
and it's not that far away. Like, it is... recently, we've gotten a lot of game announcements and stuff, obviously, that have been like, and it's out in 6 months or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is, you know, the old days of give us a year.
Yeah.
At least.
Here's 4 screenshots in a magazine, and you'll see this in 3 years' time, and it'll look completely different.
Even getting the trailer to the extent that we did is, like, I think a little beyond what they've shown. They showed for, like, GTA 4 initially, definitely for Red Dead 2, which was just, like, that Twitter silhouette bullshit.
Yeah,
I would rather them just hold out and announce it when it's, you know, dated and it's not going to slip and it's not too far away, but also with the leaks they've been getting and how insane people have been going about this game, I do feel like they just have had their hand forced and been like, we got to drip out something.
I mean, it happened in microcosm in just this trailer. So they probably are feeling a bit forced to be on the front foot with this.
And they must be, given that huge leak of the footage,
the work in progress stuff.
What was that, like a while ago now?
More than a year,
More than a year ago. Like, they must be, they must have had to really, like, ramp up the amount of security that they have in their internal systems and everything.
And it worked.
Because, 2 more years, that's like a lot of stuff that could start to leak out between.
And the trailer, like, that we got is like slices. It's not, because remember that GTA 5 trailer where it was like this sprawling view of like the whole city? It was like person to person to person. It was like you basically saw the entire map. Whereas this, I feel like, was a bit more like contained. It was like this, this street, this, you know, corridor, this car.
Like one big shot of like the main Vice City bit.
Yeah, I love that it's back in Vice City too. Yeah.
Like, we already knew that, but. Cool place.
Yeah, it looks good.
What restraint to not have the VI of the 6 be the first letters of Vice City too, Resident Evil Village style.
Yeah,
they kind of did. Like, they had Vice comes up as a big bit
like
of text
Hollywood
at one point.
Thing.
Yeah, and then when they do the title at the end, I think it was like the same font, like it was the same layout.
Because I think that was a big sign, like in game.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, looks cool.
Looks great.
We'll check back in about a year. Mm-hmm. Enjoy yourselves until then.
Mm.
Bye.
I'll tell you what else got announced and is out.
Bye.
No, we're still we've got a lot more on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Tell you what else got announced that is dropping, I mean, much sooner than GTA 6. Mm. I didn't put this up on the whiteboard because it just popped into my head then.
Oh.
Donkey Kong Country as part of Super Nintendo World in Osaka, Japan.
You're still planning your big trip?
Still planning my big trip. Annoyingly, so spring 24, which is like March to May in Japan. Looks cool. It's going to have a little minecart roller coaster ride thing.
Oh, great. Baby.
Which, big fan of that.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan of that.
Yeah.
If you and a second person both go on the ride and one of you gets hurt on the ride, mm-hmm. you have to get off, but then you can get back on later on and you switch sides of the cart.
Well, hopefully me and Ben will be there at the same time and you can...
Yeah.
I can just carry you around the theme park on my back.
And hopefully it's open. Like, well, that yeah. I mean, the whole one will, but yeah.
Ben's stuck inside of a bin going like...
It will be annoying to go there and it not quite be open, but just be able to see sort of like a construction site just over a hill with like a giant banana and be like, God damn it.
Well, if we can like make our way up...
You thought on what the production design of this is going to be like... Probably a giant banana.
It will be.
They'll borrow it from Australia, the big banana. No, if that happens, we'll just have to jump up the girders, dodging barrels as we go.
Oh, right.
And then we'll get to the top.
Yeah.
And, you know.
We're fans. We know the law. Yeah. We know how it all works.
I'll go there and I'll be like, ah, you know.
Yep.
Like Candy Kong.
It would be mad if, I don't know what's closed down for them to expand out the Nintendo part, or if it's just like more land beyond where the park already ended.
Yeah. They did buy more park, didn't they? I'm thinking of like the Nintendo offices.
Yeah, like it would be cool if like every other property at Universal Studios just fell out of flavor and then all of a sudden it's like just an entire... They have like Yoshi's Island in there. They're just like...
They could close down the Tom Cruise The Mummy ride, I'm sure.
No! That's
okay. Yeah.
It's good. They've got to open the Dark Universe corner of the park.
It'll be everything else is gone and it'll just be Nintendo and Harry Potter fighting to the death.
Yes.
About who's going to hold on to their relevance for the longest.
I've got a guess. Yeah, cool. That's nice. Yeah. I saw some just like a photo. I don't even remember what any of it was, but of like the merch that they're going to be selling.
That is very funny that they're already front footing like, start saving your pennies because you're going to have to exit through the gift shop.
Mm.
Get your little headband with Donkey Kong on it.
I think they had like barrel mugs.
Oh, sick.
I'm
taking an empty suitcase with me.
Yeah.
I'll trade you this empty suitcase for one of those mugs. How am I going to get this home?
But yeah, if it's not open yet, maybe we can try some paparazzi style. You know, we can leak some photos of our own. Yeah,
well, I've still not been to the OG, so I'll be just pumped to do that, honestly. Yeah.
Speaking of trailers, following up on the announcement of trailers that we talked about last week, that trailer for the Fallout TV show came out and I'm way more interested.
Yeah.
Like, I'm way more sold on it now, seeing it in motion.
I think we speculated about that tone, especially, like you mentioned, Nox, like the Fallout 4, like ironic 50s sort of tone that it really lent into.
And the, just sort of the color scheme and all of that, like, yeah.
But I think it's doing a really good job of that.
Chris Parnell was in it.
Yes.
He was funny.
Yeah. It appears to be like a comedy. Like, I don't know if you guys saw Ash versus Evil Dead.
No.
But that was like a sort of action comedy that had like good writing in it and it carried the show. And I feel like this has hit the right mark for me at least.
Same.
Like costuming, like the color grading, all of that stuff has made it not look cheap and shitty to me, at least.
With how Amazon, and again, we said this last week, but like the distribution company is not the production company, and I don't remember who the production, but The Boys works with that sort of tone really well, where it's like, you know, the violent world with humor in it.
Mm.
This is the same thing,
totally,
potentially. And yeah,
you know what I hated
like the boys.
In this was the
you've heard the rumors are true.
The bit of text that came up that said, from the studio that brought you The Boys and 2-day shipping.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the one part of it where I was like, come on now.
What is that?
Don't add your own jokes in, trailer guy.
What is this? Not even a reference to like in-world It's like this is just a reference to the platform of at what?
To yep. be fair, I do think that joke landed better with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I think for me, for us, it was a warning sign, and for everyone else, it was like, oh, now I know I'm going to like this.
But plenty of good signs in there.
Great cast.
I liked the look of it.
I didn't realize this would happen. It makes sense. Tracking sort of the apocalypse, but a bit of GOG, not in prosthetics.
Yep.
Bit of flashback stuff.
Yeah, it said that in like the Vanity Fair one or whatever, right. But seeing it as him, like, it makes sense too to have, you know, for people who are obviously going to be new to Fallout stuff, to have a bit of the before world thing, because the world that explodes is different to the modern world as well. So you need to establish that too.
Yep.
I don't know what we'll do about it. Talk about it on here. Talk about it on the Patreon.
I'm trying to think about I have no attachment to the games, and honestly, if it weren't for this, I wouldn't have even looked at the trailer. And I was like, oh, this looks like all right for something that I'll probably like feel a bit of an obligation to watch for the pod. But I feel like if it weren't for that, it'd just be probably passing me by. I don't think I'd have any thoughts on it one way or the other. I think it looks better than what I would expect, but it didn't make me go, oh, this looks awesome.
Right.
It just felt like, I don't know, this could be anything.
Unlike me, you didn't get a huge boner when you saw people running around in like blue jumpsuits with numbers on the back.
No.
Wow. That's weird.
But I did think the effects look good and the setting and the like practical location stuff looks like it's well done.
Which
is obviously goes a long way to making this believable. Yeah. I do love that now it's like the established thing of the adaptation is like you've got to have someone involved in the game making the pivot to working in, you know, you've got to have them riding shotgun on this thing.
Yeah.
You got to have Druckmann in there.
Yeah.
You got to have Miyamoto in the boardroom.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have Todd Howard at the script read-throughs.
Yeah, I don't think you do.
Because Todd Howard as well, like, not the Fallout guy.
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely, yeah.
But I also think you do kind of have to have that because there's been such a rocky, you know, they've been such a patchy record with game adaptations, so that now that
The
one that has been really critically popular and the one that made $1 billion both had the, you know, someone from the game studio
and then
heavily involved. So now it's like, okay, that's the mark of how you do it.
And like the Halo one, which also got a trailer that I didn't bother watching, doesn't have like
from
Johnny Bungie or whoever's like the yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And if you're adapting something, get the person who knows about the original thing.
Yeah.
And then ignore 95% of what they say about filmmaking.
Yeah.
But this is interesting too, because it's not a... they've said that it's not like a straight up adaptation, right? They view it as taking place in the same world as the games, and it's almost like a sequel to the game. So it's not adapting the story of 4 or anything like that.
And all it makes sense to do that because all of the Fallout games are distinct from each other. They're not carry-on stories.
Right.
And all the stories are pretty bad and would not at all suit a TV show.
Yeah, so the writing and the dialogue and the bits and pieces in the games can be good.
Yeah, for sure.
But the overall
it's so
plots
fragmented.
Aren't generally the thing.
Yeah.
That's cool that it is essentially a blank slate where they're just using a lot of like the design principles and
the flavor.
Writing sensibility and flavor do whatever the hell they want without being tethered to like, how do we explain that he picks up a leaf and then he has a big tail and he can fly around? What's our justification? Because in the game you just pick up a thing and that just happens.
What if he listens to Duran Duran and that gives him the power? Like a really default song. That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
I saw, this is completely irrelevant, I saw
the floor is yours.
I saw on Twitter someone recut. So there's a new Godzilla and Kong movie coming out.
Right.
And they released a trailer for it. And someone had tweeted like 2 years ago, if they don't make a trailer for Godzilla and Kong with the boys are back in town playing in the background, I'll have to make it myself.
Yeah.
And so he did. And it's okay.
Yep.
But then all the comments were like, you should have used I Need a Hero. I was like...
Yeah.
this is why normal people shouldn't be able to share their opinions on social media.
This is why Threads was a bad idea.
Yeah, it's very funny as well. If you go out there and be like, this is why normal people shouldn't be posting their opinions, then all of them thinking, well, that's why freaks shouldn't be posting their opinions.
We were all having fun. Only freaks should be able to share their
ideas. We had Elon doing God's work, taking down the old platform. Yep. We're all finally almost free. And then Instagram went, now let's bring it back.
Keep it going. Dig deeper.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of like weird tones to things that don't have that tone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Last of Us, the part two remastered thing. They put out a
Dance Monkey.
Sure.
Weird tones.
Yeah. Well,
she's a weird tone.
Not on her own though. I am also there.
Yeah.
Tones and I.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
No Return is the name of the like DLC bit they're also doing with the Last of Us 2 remastered thing.
Mm.
They put out a trailer for that. It looks really cool, but it's also bizarre. Like, it looks fun, and I love the gameplay of the Last of Us 2. Very odd to see. It's one of those things where like, you know, the story of The Last of Us 2 is so somber and grounded and whatever. And then it's like, now Ellie's got a fun astronaut suit and she's blasting them.
Not into this at all,
honestly.
I hate this. Yeah. I just couldn't see you playing this. I don't know. I just have always really liked, I know they've dabbled in multiplayer stuff, but to me, this is kind of what we've talked about recently of them feeling like they really are getting close to the brink of just overextending the Last of Us universe. And it's just like, there's something about it that just like kind of cheapens and bastardizes this great like standalone world that they have.
It's a very goofy Resident Evil style, like the Mercenaries mode, like... But sort of, it's a, if you don't know what it is, it's a roguelike mode where you can play as a bunch of different characters from The Last of Us 2 and you are wave-based horde mode fighting people and crafting guns.
Yeah, going from location, like clearing a location, going to the next one, much like in a Hades or whatever, you go from room to room.
Yeah.
And the gameplay of that game is so good.
I thought this looked sick. I'm super excited to play this, yeah.
Just one of those things where like, it looks like a great mod or something where you know, It's like when, I don't know.
It'll be $10 for us, though, if you already own the game, right? That was the...
I think 20 Australian. Which is decent.
Yeah. There's this and then those lost level things and the visual upgrade to the base game as well, right?
I think the thing itself looks fun. And then, yeah, it's just one of those weird things when you've got something dramatic and... Then you know if you put out Killers of the Flower Moon or whatever, and you had Leo in character like doing games on Jimmy Fallon or whatever.
Exactly.
Oh, you know what I mean? It's that disconnect.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sure it probably will be fun. I'll play it, but it just, there's something about watching it where even though it's hard because like the game play itself looks fun, but the existence of it is so corny to me.
Right.
Like,
I think maybe I played Last of Us 2 all the way through a second time, and it's also, that was like 6 months ago. I feel like I have distance from the impact of the story where it's like, it's just a game.
You're ready for more
Yeah.
I feel and again, exactly it's like, in the middle between you two.
Well, you are.
I'm physically and... spiritually and conceptually about this.
Mm.
This also weirdly too.
I love
too,
riding a fence.
The way
it's my favorite thing. I don't love it. Riding a fence is okay. I can see both sides. It's good and bad.
Right. Literally, I'm sitting up here. I can see both sides. It's great. It's weird, like the way that they're even like the way they're selling it in the trailer. It does feel like it almost has some elements of how they would push the multiplayer thing if that was
come to fruition.
So it's kind of weird for that to have, for whatever reason, not been able to get off the ground, and it seems like it's really in development hell.
Mm.
But then this is a lot simpler of a thing
to be able to add in, though.
You're not
worrying about your net codes and you're like, connecting a million different people.
And we don't know if it will be monetized with those costumes and stuff that you can see in the trailer.
I would
not be surprised at all if it does end up being that, and people will fucking hate that, and probably rightfully so. But yeah, it's such a simpler thing to take the existing levels and gameplay and monsters and everything of this.
Unless you can dress Ellie up as Peter Griffin, I'm not interested.
I gotta go get her. I'm sorry. Oh, fuck, that was a bad Peter Griffin.
Holy crap, Joel.
Yeah. This is worse at the time they beat.
Oh, yeah. Family Guy, taking it face value, should make a great video game. You could make like a WarioWare style. Ah, this reminds me of the time, you know, and then you have a little micro game.
Yeah.
Let's pitch that.
Let's pitch it.
Pitch it up the
Seth,
chain.
we got the ultimate game for you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill Joel. Who is that?
Was that Brian? Is that
I used to be good at doing little impressions and shit, I feel like. Maybe I wasn't. Maybe I'm just less delusional these days.
Ellie!
See? Great. that was about all the... There's a couple other little sort of bits and bobs that have happened. There was some weird stuff with, like... Microsoft has said before in the past that, like, they want Game Pass everywhere possible.
Yeah, yes. Every and, like, screen that exists.
Cloud gaming, I suppose they mean specifically... and there was like some weird back and forth in where they like mentioned like we'd have it on PlayStation, and later on we're like, we never said the word PlayStation. I don't know.
Yeah,
what.
So the CFO said, literally on everything mobile phones, PlayStation and Nintendo, which we would have considered competitors. And then about 4 or 5 days later, Phil Spencer like specifically came out and said, like, we have no plans to put Game Pass on Nintendo or PlayStation.
And I suppose that's like specifying we don't have plans for it.
We're not doing it right now.
Of course we'd love to have it on every possible screen, every Times Square projector could, you know, like,
yeah,
because you could imagine them thinking like, yeah, they seem to be putting so much of their efforts into pushing Game Pass as a service. So for them, if they could get down the line and not have to manufacture hardware and deal with all of that cost and effort.
That no one's buying anyway.
Right. Yeah. So then Game Pass exists as a thing that lives on PlayStation and Nintendo and whatever it is, and you have to pay for that if you want to play Starfield, for example.
Yeah.
Then like that would make a lot of sense.
And I feel like they fully said this years ago.
Yeah, it definitely sounds familiar, yeah.
Because I remember when... I remember Cuphead showing up on the Switch was a big deal because it had been an Xbox.
Right.
And I remember at the time that got announced, them being very like, well, yeah, we just want... They own it in some way, so it just means Switch is a huge console, like especially in Japan where... Microsoft doesn't have as big of a pull, and that's a game that is probably visually going to appeal to a Japanese audience. So if we put it on there, that's just more money back to us. So who gives a shit if we're breaking that exclusivity?
Minecraft is everywhere. Like, this is no surprise. And I do think it's a clarification thing of like, there's nothing in the works. We haven't talked to anybody. We'd like, Nintendo still doesn't want a bar of it or whatever, you know.
Because
like,
remember there was that quote a few months ago where they had, well, no, it was from one of the emails where they talked about wanting to buy Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I think they had also said the same thing about Sega. And Sega came out recently and were like, no interest. Never going
to
happen.
Don't think we mentioned this at the time, and I've forgotten about it, but was reminded of Microsoft tried to buy Nintendo in like the early 2000s.
Right.
And got literally laughed out of the room is apparently what happened.
Yeah, right.
Like they... it's... Of course they want to. I don't know.
Right. But yeah, and I think this is a distinction between the CFO being like mentioning something that would
conceptually, of course,
make a lot of money. But and it's the CEO being like, I think like legally we shouldn't have said that.
Right, exactly. We can't have our fucking stock prices be affected by what could be argued to be a lie.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right, just being like, we'd love to buy Nintendo. It's like the equivalent of like, you're driving down the coast, like along the beach, and there's just this like mansion with this beautiful beach view, and you're like, would you live there? If you had to suck a dick once, would you live there?
If you had $1 million, what would you buy? Oh, like a quarter of a head.
Yeah. And then, our old mates at Time Magazine have stamped their authority on the video game industry and named Alan Wake 2 as the game of the year.
Well, we there also got named as the most influential people, so that came across our desk because we're in the same issue.
We were going to be in 30 under 30, but, and then in brackets it said based upon looks solely, not based upon real age.
Right. Yep. Now we're going to be in 40 almost 40.
Yeah, 40, acting 15.
Yeah. 10 under 10 on the attractiveness scale. These ones are really doing some great work every week.
If we get some promo, I'll take it.
All right, so he's a 30 under 30, yeah. But it's for video games.
Yeah. Oh. If I got called up and said, you're going to be on the cover of a magazine. Now, for full clarity, it's because you've won
Fuckheads
Times
Monthly.
Yeah, Times Bush Pig of the Year. I'd be like, I'm still in. I don't care. That's sick.
That's what Obama was on. Not the specific article, but he was on there. Pretty cool. Alan Wake 2. First set of a few other places have put their Game of the Year stuff out. We'll have ours in a couple of
weeks. An interesting one. I feel like a lot of these, sometimes with something like this, it's wanting your your award to have a point of difference.
Sure.
To be a talking point.
Yeah, I think there's a full argument for it to be justifiably that too. Yeah, but you're right, that it's from a certain perspective of like, I think it's one of the most unique games of the year and all of that stuff.
Yeah, most ambitious.
In a lot of ways. So like, I haven't read their reasoning for it or any of the article at all, but like...
They said it's because Alan Wake was so hot.
Oh, yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for some stuff like that. Like, it's
a diverse and interesting choice, especially rather than
like when a game that everyone's loving just one outlet gives it a 7. It's like, great. Right. I'm more likely to read this than just another review that's like
goes through
all the reasons it's good.
Yeah.
And especially if you're doing it from the perspective of like, you know, we'll do our Game of the Year, so not to like give any of that away because I still haven't decided yet.
Yeah, we're doing our Games of the Year.
Game of the Year.
What? Since when?
We've done it
years ago.
8 times?
We've done it since 2002.
Yeah. Huh.
What was our Game of the Year in 2002? What was your top 10 2002? Go.
Well, I mean, if you want me to. In reverse order, Metroid Prime.
You're bailing out for comedy, but I know that you actually could do it if you wanted to, and we gave you about 5 minutes.
I'm bailing out for the purposes of time. Which, yeah, like I can see Alan Wake 2 very easily being genuinely the most fun game of the year for many people.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
And hey, if you're not rating games based on fun, what are you doing?
Mm. Yeah, and if you're someone who liked the first one and it seemed it very much was something that seemed like it would never get a follow-up,
right.
So the mere existence of it is like, hey, this is awesome.
It's also way better than the first one.
Yeah. We'll be talking about it in a couple of weeks.
I saw a list with Hi-Fi Rush on it.
It's going to be on a bunch of lists.
Oh, yeah. People loved that game.
I forgot that came out this year. Mm. I really thought that was last year.
We won't be talking about that one in a couple of weeks, I'm willing to bet.
Mm.
It was very early. It was like,
it's like Feb or something. Yeah.
It was one of the first kind of new things of the year.
Yeah. It was like that and Fire Emblem or whatever were like those very early.
Yeah, Fire Emblem was Jan 20 or something.
Fucking hell.
It's game of the year time. It's end of the year time. Game awards are in like 12 hours from this. I'll say as well, I'll definitely be watching them and like chatting in the Discord if you're on Patreon. Patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
Wait, what time's it start here?
11 a.m.
Okay.
11 a.m. Friday?
Friday our time, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're listening to this, the moment it goes up, you've got hours.
Go to bed. Get ready to
get
up bright and early. Or wait, stay up really late, depending on where you are.
I'm looking forward to that because, like, you know, I like seeing new games be revealed and I like the awkward corporate bullshit.
We usually get a little something. There's usually at least one little treat in there.
Apparently, it's been very locked down in terms of, like, leaks and security and stuff because there's a bunch of new game announcements coming in this one.
They had like normally they're posting a lot more like, hey, we'll do a deep dive into this or do whatever. But there's been less of that because it's more not yet revealed stuff, which makes sense because like not a lot of new things revealed throughout this year for the future.
Yeah,
I feel like so that'll be fun. If you're in the Discord, I'll be yammering away in there.
Yeah,
I'm leaving late enough for Meredith that I think I'll still be in reception by the time a lot of stuff has been announced.
Okay,
nice. So I won't have to spend 48 hours in the mud going, I wonder who are they adding to Smash Brothers this time?
Fuck yeah.
That would rule if they did. We thought Mario Kart 8 was done and then just all of a sudden they're like, we're adding 48 more tracks if they just go, you know what? Let's just keep Smash Brothers Ultimate rolling along.
It's back.
Yeah.
The cat from Stray. This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by our friends over at Manscaped.
Manscaped are about getting the hair off of your body where you do not want it to be, neatening it up where you do not want it to look messy.
Yep.
And their products, they do exactly that.
Yeah, yeah. The Lawnmower 5.0 is out. It's the new body hair trimmer. It's fantastic. We've all got one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We all love them.
We took our dog to the groomer yesterday and we asked them, you know, the brief was take a little bit of the length out, but, you know, tidy him up a bit, but, you know, still keep him as a little shaggy boy. And they have taken him right down to the skin.
Yeah.
And it's annoying because he looks ridiculous. And in my head, I'm like, I could have done this myself with the bloody Lawnmower 5.0.
Yeah.
Not officially endorsed, but you can do it.
You can.
Maybe the beard hedger, you know, that's, they've got the longer clip sort of extensions.
Yep.
Maybe one day we'll get Dogscaped. Who knows?
Ooh.
Well, I know, we won't. But
Man's best friend scaped.
That's well, better.
Yeah, we have to have that now then, yeah. But no, officially, no, we have just Manscaped. I've been going on some Hinge dates. I've been using that nose and ear hair trimmer to really, really pair things back to when I was 27 and had no hair there.
Is that your opener on the date? You should have seen these things I got stuck into
a line. Look at this. I've got a discount code for you.
What do you think of my profile? Yeah. Pretty neat and tidy.
Well, and also the performance package is like their sort of gift set that they do. What a time of year to be giving out gifts, in my opinion.
Oh, yes.
Have a look at what they got. Go to Manscaped. And when you're checking out, use the code FILTHY. You get 20% off of that price and you get free shipping.
Yeah.
Yep.
Little secret between you and me.
Just us?
Yeah.
The mics are on.
Don't publish this.
No, the mics are on.
Also, I'm over here.
Giving everyone the secret. Yeah, go to Manscaped, have a look at what you need. Do your Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
Code FILTHY, 20% off and free shipping.
Take a little bit off the top.
Yeah.
Not every.
Your secret just got out. And if you don't want that to happen to you, something you can use is another one of our sponsors this week.
How does Santa get around the world so quickly? It's because he uses NordVPN travel digitally around.
So he just never leaves the North Pole.
That's his secret.
He just gets on his laptop and pretends that he's in China.
It's as easy as that.
That's why it's called Nord, because it's north. It's like
the Nord Pole.
Yeah, the Nord Pole. The Nord Pole.
Santa uses it. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for... Yeah. Hey, gifts don't always have to be... I kind of like unwrapping a digital gift that someone's made a little printout for.
That's
happened a few times, and that's kind of fun.
Yes.
Maybe you could do that with NordVPN, because if you do, you could use the code FILTHY. You go to nordvpn.com/filthy and you get yourself... I think it's 4 free months if you get the 2-year best deal thing.
That's right.
So nordvpn.com/filthy. If you don't know what a VPN is, by the way, it's a important piece of internet equipment that you need. It's just a program that they put it on a bunch of devices. It's really easy to use NordVPN. They're reliable and it allows you to be in a different location on your computer.
Get your parents one for Christmas. If you're sick of getting your dad's socks and him just being like, oh, thanks. They won't appreciate it. They won't understand it. But it's also sort of a gift for you because it means you're not going to field constant calls about like, oh, I think all our money got stolen.
Yeah.
You should have gone to nordvpn.com/filthy, Dad.
Yeah.
That's a deal. It's money going back to you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Have a look at that too. Santa approves. New games coming out one day in the future. Current games already out in the present, which is technically the only thing that exists ever. So these are the only games that exist in a sense.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But they've come out in the past.
I guess now they have. So they no longer exist.
Yeah.
One of those non-existent games, Steam World Build, is what I've been playing.
Steam World Build.
Did you ever play any of the Steam World games?
I played, was it Dig?
There's Dig, there's Dig 2, there's Heist, there's like Quest. I've only ever played the Dig ones, but I liked them.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know if I played Dig or Dig 2.
I think we played Dig 2. I think all of us definitely played Dig 2.
I remember really, really liking it.
The Dig ones are great. So SteamWorld Build is, it's just come out. It's on Game Pass. I accidentally bought it on Steam before knowing that.
Oof.
Bit of fun. Have a little extra money, guys, because I kind of enjoyed this game.
Okay.
A refund.
I don't believe it's the main team who have made this one, like the Dig people. They're doing something else. But whoever's made this one, it's like a kind of small-scale city building management type of game. Mm-hmm. Very pared back and light.
Yeah.
It's not super complex. You are in this SteamWorld desert. There's like five different maps. I only did the desert one because it's kind of, it's laid out oddly. So there are like five different maps. Mm-hmm. There is a story mode that you can apply to any of them, but okay. It'll be the same story. You just play through once in a playthrough. Does that
sure.
make sense?
Yeah.
And it's not very good. And at certain points, like in your progression, it'll pop up with a little cutscene that sort of sucks. But the main thing of what you're doing is you got a blank town with just a train station, and you are slowly building up resources and houses for people to come and live and work in the resource farming places, mm-hmm. all of that city builder
mm-hmm.
shit,
mm-hmm.
Laying it out so that they've got the amenities they need near them, all of that. And then you go down into an underground mine that is beneath your city. And kind of like the old Dungeon Keeper games, mm-hmm. you're picking away at dirt, you're getting more resources down there, you're eventually like tower defensing against like incoming enemies and all right. that stuff. A few levels of that to eventually get enough resources to build a rocket to get out of there.
Okay.
It's pretty straightforward. Like one playthrough of it took me about 5 to 6 hours, not very long.
One playthrough of one of the maps?
Of one of the maps okay. doing the story mode.
Sure,
right.
Yeah.
I don't think there's too much difference between the maps. They give you sort of different parameters of like, you'll get more of this thing or less of this thing is my understanding right. of it. I haven't actually messed with that
so
too much.
So it's more just kind of like which flavor you want for your playthrough.
It's kind of, I think it's sort of like, yeah, different modes and, right. and aesthetically.
And then once
yeah.
you've built all of that up, there's more for, you could go like free range mode. On the other maps?
I don't know if there's even that. It's sort of the progression to get to a certain goal.
Okay. Right.
Is my understanding. I might be wrong about that because all I've done at this point was play through that story mode, yep. which somewhere between 5 and like 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. I had a good time with it. Like you're building little patches of quarters underneath it, down in the mine to have like miners or engineers to build and maintain mm-hmm. the machines you've got. Guards to fight the monsters, all of that. Pretty straightforward stuff. There's so it's so like tightened and simple that you're never without clear direction.
Right.
There's very obvious next steps to take.
So this would
times.
Be a good like entry level city builder for someone yes. who hasn't
absolutely
played the genre before.
A kid would be fine with this.
Cool. Right.
I'm pretty
what
sure.
Because so what is the first SteamWorld thing? Because even is it
yeah.
Dig?
Dig
I thought
one
Dig was
the,
a spin-off.
Dig 1 was the first thing. Yeah. Right, SteamWorld okay. Dig, I don't know, ages ago.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they've just used... It's sort of like cowboy robots is like the aesthetic of yeah. The SteamWorld stuff. And it works fine for this. Like you've got it... A lot of the buildings look very similar because of the style. So once your city is big enough, it is kind of hard to, at a glance, look at, oh, I've got enough of this or not enough of that or whatever.
Right.
And figure out... this patch of houses. So you start with like the worker houses and then once their needs are fulfilled, you can upgrade them to engineers, then to aristocrats and then to scientists mm-hmm. and the scientists, the one who work on the rockets. And they all sort of, you know, need to have their area gentrified a bit more. So there's like a hat shop for the aristocrats or they won't fucking live there. They hate right. it there if they can't get their hats.
Yeah.
Very straightforward, simplified, but really fun because it's so clear and simple. Version of like a city builder thing. So I think you're absolutely right that if this is like a my first city builder type of mm-hmm. experience for you, you'll have a good time. It's
right.
like a nice way to zip through an afternoon of getting through that story mode, which again, the story, blech, but
it reminds me of, I don't know if you ever played these back in the day, like Caesar and like Zeus and those games.
Yeah, kind
where
of.
It was, yeah, it was like, well, you build a market to get food to the people. Once the people have food, they need a bit of garden around the edges.
Yeah.
Then that, like, that upgrades. Yeah, that's, like, direct tier sort of upgrade thing.
And it's there's very easy ways to go and look at what you're missing, what you need more
right.
of, what resources you're not producing enough, where you should put them. Like, mm-hmm. it's not difficult, but it is satisfying in like, a very kind of almost like one of those clicker games or something. And it is to like a City Skylines or whatever, what like a Mario and Rabbids is to XCOM or something like that.
Sure.
Which is cool. It's on, I think, everything. And I played it on the PC, but it works fine with a controller.
Cool.
Right.
It's on the Switch and everything. So it's a cool time. The problem is if you like city builders and have played a bunch of them, it may be too simple for you.
Yeah.
You
right.
may not get much out of it. So
and if you're not into city builders and also you're not into SteamWorld,
Right.
This probably hasn't come across your desk in any way.
Yeah. It's just like, but because it is so snappy and short,
yep.
Even if you're deep into them or have never played one, I still think it's worth giving a go, especially if you have access to Game Pass, because I think the momentum that it very easily gets you into is satisfying. And,
I'm going to play it tonight.
Yeah, it's a good time. Mm. Like, I don't really have a problem with any of it other than it's just like its scope is limited.
Right,
yeah.
But by design, so it has a place in the world.
Yeah.
I won't try and oust it from the world.
Won't strike it from the record.
No, it's an all right time.
All right.
Yeah, don't mind SteamWorld build. Have a little crack at it.
Cool.
Or buy it if you already have access to Game Pass because you didn't fucking type the name into Google.
Well, idiot. I've been playing something also on Steam. I believe that's the only place you can get it at this point in time.
Okay.
That I think also has gone under the radar a little bit.
Mm.
A game called Knuckle Sandwich, which is Australian developed, might even be Melbourne developed.
Okay. Ooh, hometown heroes.
Hometown heroes.
Yeah. I've had a couple of knuckle bloody sandwiches here.
Mm.
Pardon me?
Nothing.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything. I'll strike that from the record.
It is an RPG that is very heavily inspired by aesthetically Earthbound, mechanically Undertale, and also mechanically WarioWare.
Mamma mia.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a hell of a mix.
So you're a little guy.
I'm in.
You're a guy in a city, and it's got that, you know, Earthbound is a JRPG that just takes place in a little modern city,
right,
where weird stuff is happening. So it's got that sort of paranormal stuff is happening, but you're just a little guy walking around town, going to your job, and then you'll come across bits in the environment where it's throwing these little micro games at you, where it's like you're having to flip burgers and you're using the joysticks to move your arms around, but your arms are really kind of like wavy and have bizarre physics to them. And then when you're in battles, you have these very like Mario RPG timed attack things that you're doing, where it's like a little sliding bar that has a sort of big chunk of it moving around. And then you've got your little cursor that you're trying to stop in just the right part of, so you have to do these different timings and
like a golf game,
game. But then it'll escalate to the point where you've got multiple tracks that you're able to move up and down on,
and there's
bombs on part of the track, so you're trying to avoid that and still line up the perfect shot. And then when enemies are attacking you, you are defending by being thrown into a little game of like a Space Invaders clone or a little mini golf, or just having to dodge things that are falling down that go for 3 seconds.
Right.
And if you execute them perfectly, you will not take damage and you will do a bit of damage back. Or if you just completely fuck it and, you know, for example, in the Space Invaders one, if you take on a lot of bullets, you'll take a lot of damage.
Right.
So it's got that nice sort of more modern RPG thing of you feeling like if you're good enough at this game, you can avoid taking a lot of damage. Like you don't have to just sit there and cop this huge attack and not be able to do anything about it. And it's fun. Like all these elements really come together and it's got this like, yeah, very bizarre personality to it and weird sense of humor where like it's all pixel art when you're kind of walking around the town. But then there'll be these cutscenes that are rendered in this like PlayStation 1 style, like blocky polygonal sort of style. Yeah, it's really cool. It's really self-aware. It's really reaching for a lot of different things.
It sounds like someone's poured every quirky game into a bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
And made like a Long Island iced tea of like
It's a real classic of just one guy who's just one night thought, oh, you know what'd be cool? Like, why doesn't this exist? I guess Undertale is sort of this. It's sort of got the like mini-gamey thing in combat, and what you're doing in combat in that game is sort of constantly changing. Mm-hmm. But I like the tone and feel of this a lot more than Undertale because it's got a lot more of that bright,
snazzy style.
Yeah, quirky little Earthboundy little kid going about his life, walking around town and strange stuff starts happening.
Mm.
It's not like story-wise, it's very like, oh, and now we're doing this, and now we're doing this. There's sort of a bit of an overall thing, but not, again, it's very goofy. It's just like, oh, these ghosts have started showing up, and there's all this paranormal stuff happening. I wonder what's going on. And you meet this guy who's like your connection to the other realm, who's like popping up in between chapters to tell you like, hey, yeah, you know, maybe we should go here now and see what's going on over here. But yeah, all the little dungeons that you're going into and the enemy encounters that you're getting into, because every time you see a new enemy, they're going to have new attacks and there'll be new little mini games for you to do in the combat. It never feels like a slog of like, oh, now I've got to do another battle. You know, it's like, oh, I wonder what the little mechanic is going to be here.
Right.
And also the your attack mechanics are constantly sort of changing as you get more characters in your party. The whole thing of like the golf swing thing will sort of change where it is now. It's on a circle where it's going around and you got to get the timing. Yeah, it's really interesting.
This sounds cool.
It's really, really cool.
And is the writing and the story like a focus of it, or is that kind of like that quick to get you to the next thing?
It's kind of quick. It's, yeah. I mean, I'm finding it like weird and charming enough that
sick.
I'm not minding it. Yeah, there's a couple little bits of like you're just kind of going through plot stuff. But again, it's referencing that real SNES era of stuff that I kind of like anyway, but yeah. It's certainly not to the level of like a, you know, Persona 5 Tactica, or it's like really right. making you do all this stuff. Like, it is very like...
And it's not in like the Chrono Trigger style or whatever, where it's like the story is the focus.
Yeah.
It's more like Earthbound, which was... Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's just quirky. It's like, hey, there's this happening, so now let's go here. So then you're like walking through a big area where you've got to... It's like a bit of a maze and you've got to work out where to go and find a key and get to the thing and... You're doing like your, yeah, it's basically your dungeon where you're doing your battles and then you've got your boss battle. Mm. And then, yeah, you're going on to like a new part of town and a new part of the story where
cool.
you're walking around and chatting to characters. And yeah, the visual style of it is cool. The visual style is sort of constantly changing throughout it as well. Mm. It's neat. I think it's been revised a little bit and tweaked here and there since it officially dropped.
Was it an early access thing or something for a while? Or like,
I'm not 100% sure. Right. And I don't know if they've said anything about if and when it'll come out on other stuff, but it definitely does feel like a thing that, you know, it's PC only and they'll tweak it and refine it. And it feels like it's not gotten much attention yet, but if it was to launch on, you know, a Switch, it would be like such a perfect home for it that it would get like a lot more attention then. But yeah, it's cool. Definitely recommend checking this out if you've got Steam. I don't think it's too graphically demanding, so I don't think you need a very powerful computer to play.
Do you have any idea of like how long it sort of is, or?
I think 10 to 12-ish hours from what I can gather.
Yeah. This sounds cool. I want to have a look at this.
Yeah, it's neat.
It is a Victoria-based developer.
Oh, cool.
At least. Yeah, it's like Vic Screen funded. It kind of has like a Maniac Mansion vibe to like some of the... Knox here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that sort of era of like weird PC game.
A little bit, yeah. Like it looks different to how I thought it might. It's
yeah,
like
me too, yeah.
A bit like flat cutout South Park almost looking, some of the sort of cutscene-y looking bits.
Yeah.
But it also, you can tell even from those screenshots that it does vary it up quite a bit.
Yeah, it mixes it up heaps. It's it's really cool. I went on to the Metacritic for it, which there's not many critical reviews on there, as in like critics. There's a few user reviews that seem to have issue with the like. The mini games being sort of too difficult and the timings and it really needing tweaking in that regard. But I haven't really, like, they're challenging, but they should be, because if you do them perfectly, you take no damage and you do counter damage. So they should be challenging. And some of them, the control, like there's one where you're, because they all take place like in a little window that comes up sort of in the middle of the battle, that's like a little mouse comes over and like drags along a window.
Right.
And for the most part, they're all contained in that. And then there's one that I've just gotten up to where you're a car driving around, like all of a sudden it pops out and you're a car driving around the screen and these little UFOs are floating around and you've got to avoid being abducted.
Right.
And yeah, the physics of how the car drives, it's very like swervy and wiggly, so it's a little difficult in that respect, but it just means like if it was just like one for one perfect controls, it would be too easy. So it just does make you, kind of keeps you on your toes and like, yeah, I'm really into these RPGs at the moment where you're doing a little more than just strategizing when to heal and when to defend and what attacks to do, and then they just happen automatically. This thing of it being a bit more interactive just makes it a lot more just satisfying and immersive and fun. Like it's I recommend checking it out.
Sick. Sonic cool and Knuckles and Witch. Knuckle Sandwich is the name. That sounds cool. I want to have a look at that.
Yeah,
I'll be interested to see if it ends up getting a wider release at some point.
The idea that they're still tweaking it and doing that and whatever, like, is maybe a little bit of a wait and see where it goes.
Cool music too.
Yeah, you can buy the soundtrack apparently.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do that.
Well, good for you.
Knuckle Sandwich.
Knuckles and Witch.
Yeah, I played a game that had a bit of like paranormal weird stuff going on.
Okay.
It's way more self-contained though. It is, it's called The Exit 8. I believe it is a Japanese game. All the text in the game is both Japanese and English.
Hmm. Could go either way then.
I know. And it's set in a Japanese subway. So.
Okay.
I guess it's probably Japanese. Anyway, it's really simple. You just, when you open it, you're in the game. You're in the corridor of a subway, so you know, white tiles. There's the sort of it's for, I guess, like vision impaired people, the like yellow strip along the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you come to a sign on your left, and it says 0, and it says to get out, to get to exit 8. Make sure you observe all the abnormalities. If you see something abnormal, turn around. If you see nothing abnormal, go forwards.
Okay.
And so you go past that, you turn left, you turn right, and you're in a corridor, and there's like, you know, normal like subway posters on the left.
No abnormalities yet.
No.
I'd expect those.
You got a sign that says no smoking.
I'm walking straight forwards.
You got a door, another two doors, a couple of vents, and a guy around the corner, he's holding a briefcase and a phone, and he just walks down the corridor past you and around, you know, around the corner.
Normal day. I'm walking straight forward. A lot of vents for the number of doors, but I don't know how to build.
Wow.
It's probably underground.
Is this
underground,
a new speedrunning record? Adam didn't even turn the game on and he's beaten it.
Yeah.
And so
I'm getting on the train.
I assume that, yeah, so you go down there and then you turn left and you turn right and you see the same sign that you saw at the start. And it still says 0.
Now, hold on.
Still says 0. And now the game actually starts.
Uh-huh.
So you go around the corner, you see the corridor. And yeah, if there's nothing weird, you go down the corridor, past the guy, turn left, turn right, and the sign will now say 1.
Nice.
And if you...
Guess how many times you have to do it, I bet.
I reckon it's upwards of 7.
Not 9, though. That'd be
no, that's
9,
like
you're getting close to double digits, and that's too scary.
Yeah. But yeah, so sometimes you'll turn the corner and the guy will be walking really fast directly towards you. And you're like, ah, turn around. And you go back, and when you go back, you go left, you go right, and you see the sign on the left. So it's like,
yeah,
it's an eternal loop.
Like PT with the corridor.
It's very PT inspired. Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, sometimes like one of the doors will like creak open. And sometimes one of the posters will have like a weird drawing, you know. So it's just like that. You've got to notice those things, those abnormalities. Mm-hmm. You either turn around and go back or keep going.
That sounds fun. A little spot the difference.
Yeah. And yeah, it's kind of spooky. There's some like weird, crazy things that happen as well that are like obviously, you know, much more obvious. And sometimes the lights go out and sometimes, you know, this it's, yeah. So there's a bunch of those.
I can already see in my head that like, and I'm sure this isn't the point of the game, but the lights going out, I'd be like, well, that can happen. That is normal.
But yeah, you're right. It's spot the difference, PT combined.
Cool.
And I still haven't got to exit 8.
Right.
What's this on?
This on Steam and it's like $12 Australian or something.
All right.
And yeah, I've seen people in like the Steam comments be like, this was great. I finished it in 15 minutes. And other people be like, there's no way to finish this game. And so, because yeah, you just have to, anytime you don't notice something.
Straightforward.
You, well, but if you, if there was something you didn't notice,
oh, you
it resets back to zero.
Right.
So like,
and is it the same? Is it a pattern or are they generated?
It's randomly thrown at you, and there's like 30 or something total.
That's cool.
One. So yeah,
it sounds like a bit of fun.
I had a good little time with it. Fun little guessing game, and the things they throw at you, little surprises, are cool and can be surprising and a little bit scary. And
sick.
Yeah, and it's very simple looking, but. Yeah, really fun little game. Great idea. Just delivered perfectly.
Yep.
Yeah, sick.
Yeah, neat.
Yeah. That sounds nice.
Mm.
One other little thing before we go. We played a little bit of Lethal Company. I want to play more. I think we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking
of simple idea.
Yes.
If you've not seen it, you're a little crew of like space loot gatherers.
That's
about the level of teamwork that we managed to achieve as well. All saying something completely different.
Yeah,
your in-game microphone is represented very well. Like, so you speaking in real life to the other players, you'll sound the right distance away. It'll add like effects of like echoey metal hallways.
If you're too far away, you can't hear each other. Yeah,
really neat little trick.
Yeah,
that the game is sort of based around teamwork, going through like a spooky, I think, randomly generated building and trying to earn money by gathering detritus.
Get crap and get it back to the ship, and weird little spooky alien things are coming out of nowhere.
There's a time limit as well.
Yep.
It doesn't
notify you when someone in your crew dies, so just all of a sudden you're going, Adam?
Yeah.
Adam?
It's a fun, silly game that we went into blind, so had no idea what to do, but we've got some idea. I really would like to play it with some torches and things like that.
Yep.
Yes.
Some radios you can even get if you're splitting up. It's a cool thing.
It was really fun. Like, we were so bad at it.
Yeah.
But it was very, very fun.
We were learning
fun.
How to... Yeah, because it doesn't, like, tutorialize you at any point. It just, throws you in and... Yeah.
Exactly. We were having the intended experience, I think.
So,
you can watch us play that. And I think, we want to do another video of it at some stage now that we know what we're doing. Because it looks great. The style of it's cool.
Yes. Yeah, it's like this sort of grainy looking, like low poly 3D, really cool look with just a fun little trick that... is enjoyable to roam around in with that sense of presence that the focus on the voice thing gives you. It's quite simple, and like, obviously the bit that we played of it, you can watch it on YouTube, but it was fun to go in knowing nothing really about it, and to, for the game to be so enjoyable, like you said, with...
And it's fun.
And I want to learn what to do. I want to slowly figure it out. And I don't want to be, like, told or look up a guide or whatever. I want to naturally figure it out.
It's one of those ones that's, like, fun to be bad at and, die in and be sort of then... You guys, in our first, like, day...
Yes.
You guys were both gone and I was walking around just being like, Jesus Christ, what do I do now?
And we saw you jump over a railing and give up.
It's only like $15 Australian, I think. Very, very, reasonably priced. And
it's a nice time. If you got, I think it lets you play up to four people co-op at once. So if you've got a little group of friends you might want to play it with, it's designed to be silly and like enjoyable as a group. And I reckon, like, I'm sure there are guides and like, here's the best thing to do. I reckon go in as cold as you can.
Yeah, get a crew together and just... It's a good comedy game in the sense that, like, it's not trying to be funny. It's giving you the platform to have stupid stuff happen to you.
So a big cockroach thing jumped on my face at one point, and I didn't realize that for you guys, my voice was coming through. It's like, which was me yelling, like, can someone help me? You were all like, I don't think we can help him.
Yeah. We kept getting, like, one of us would get trapped in a slime monster thing, but none of us had weapons. So it's well... don't know what to do here.
And we were all like going off in different directions and losing track of where we were and shit. And I'm sure that you can buy items that relieve some of that. It seems really cool.
Then you have to go back to head office and report on how badly you've done.
Yeah, we did real bad.
Was fun.
We got punished.
Check that out.
Yeah, I saw some comments from the people watching the video. Like, you guys didn't even see any of the scary stuff. So I'm curious to see how freaky it gets.
I really want to dive into it because, I had a good time doing that bit. And, it's gotten popular online and stuff, and I can see why. Because, I think you're right that it's naturally constructed to make for, like, funny moments.
Mm. When you're looking at someone else, the way they look when they're running is very, like...
Yeah.
Old school, like Pitfall, like that, 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 that.
Yeah.
It's very different sort of game, but similar to why something like Among Us got so popular is because I think you can go in with no knowledge and with no ability. In fact, I know you can. and have a good time because it's so... even though it's like withholding all of the information from you until you discover it yourself, it's so clear in its purpose or whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
Filthycasuals.com.au for all the stuff that we have going on. We've got the Patreon where we do a bonus show every week for you. And we're, as we mentioned, Game of the Year stuff on here. We've also got our end of year recaps coming up on there.
Yeah.
Lots of talk about movies and TV shows and stuff every week. So if you like this and you want to support the show, hey, you know what? You don't even have to bother listening to the bonus show if you don't want.
No.
If you just want to chuck in a little bit of money for getting this for free every week, then that's fine with us.
There's no obligation beyond that for you. You don't have to feel like you're doing homework, but it's a fun show.
It's a good show. Thanks very much for listening. We will see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
GTA 6, more like fucking BTA 6, am I right? Ben, Tommy, and Adam. Six of us.
Shit.
It makes so much sense. I definitely didn't have fucking nothing. It makes sense.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.